council meeting of Monday, July 9th, 2007 to order. The first item is an invocation by Pastor Gregory Dansby from the Holy Temple Church of God in Christ, followed by a Pledge of Allegiance, and I will lead this pledge this evening. Is Pastor Dansby present? All right. Vice Mayor, would you like to lead us in the invocation? Would you please stand and remain standing for the pledge?
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening with gratitude in our hearts for the many, many blessings that we enjoy living in this great country. We are so very appreciative of those who have sacrificed their lives, their time, their families, and have done so in pursuit of our freedom. And we ask thee at this time that thou wilt please bless those who are serving our country overseas and at home, those who are serving in the military and in other ways. And we are so grateful to them and their families for their sacrifices in our behalf. We ask thee to bless us this day as we are in a city council meeting, that we will use wisdom, that those who speak to us will be guided in the things that they say, that they might be able to articulate the things which they would like to share with us, and that as we make decisions, that we will make decisions that are in the best interest of moving our community forward in a positive way. We pray that we will have a wonderful spirit with us here this evening, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First action is to take action on the consent agenda, so we'll read that into the record.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered by the group as a city council and will be acted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Items 3A, 3B, 3C, 3D have been added to the consent agenda and continue to the August 13th City Council meeting. Item 6A has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 6B, act on new restaurant license for Desert Peaks Pizza and Grill, 5601 East Hermosa Vista Drive. Item 7A, act on 2-year renewal of contract for landscape maintenance services, $191,899.53 annually. Item 7B, act on 2-year renewal of contract for landscape maintenance services, $316,180.19 annually. Item 7C, act on 6-month extension for contract of landscape maintenance services, $791.44. Item 7D, act on 3-year supply contract for ultraviolet wastewater disinfection lamps, $128,230.08 annually. Item 7E, act on 2-year renewal of supply contract for polyethylene gas pipe and fittings, $363,681.88 annually. Item 7F, act on 2-year renewal contract for streetlight and traffic poles, $214,222.95 annually. Item 7G, act on extension and dollar limit increase of supply contract for tires, $763,465.80. Item 7H, act on contract for dual voltage pole mount transformers, $64,716.96. Item 7J, act on contract for South CAP reservoir and booster pump station, $190,109. Item 7K, act on contract for sewer diversion structure rehab baseline in Emerson, $178,705.50. Item 8A, energy's ordinance for August 13th, amend Mesa City Code regarding traffic modifications. Item 9A, act on resolution to extinguish a drainage easement in the 6500 block of East McDowell Road. Item 9B, act on resolution to extinguish an easement for alley in the 6700 block of East Main Street. Item 9C, act on resolution to vacate right-of-way in the 2100 block of East Kale Street. Item 9D, act on resolution to accept grant funds to purchase equipment and fund overtime for bait car program. Item 9E, Act on Resolution to Accept Grant Funds for DRE/DRI Training. Item 9F, Act on Resolution to Execute a Gas Sale Contract with the Public Energy Authority of Kentucky. Item 9G has been removed from the consent agenda. Item 9H, Act on Resolution to Rename the Mesa Southwest Museum to the Arizona Museum of Natural History. Item 9I, Act on Resolution to Execute Lease with the East Valley Senior Services to Operate Center at 247 North McDonald. Item 9J, Act on Resolution to Execute a Lease with Western States Police and Fire Games. Item 10A, Act on Ordinance Annexation Case A06-24, Annex Land on Sossaman north of McDowell. This item has been continued to the August 13th City Council meeting. Item 10B, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-63, 1340 North Power Road for Office Buildings. Item 10C, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-64, 1000 West Grove Avenue for Mixed Use Mid-Rise Condos. Item 10D, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-65, 5600 East Baseline Road for a Hospital. Item 10E, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-67, 11202 East Germain Road for a Steel Mill. Item 10F, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-68, 1803 South Vineyard Road for Medical Office Buildings. Item 10G, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-69, 9135 East Guadalupe Road for Retail Shopping Center. Item 10H, Act on Ordinance Zoning Case Z07-70, 4827 East McKellops Road for four-story hotel and restaurant pad. Item 11A, Act on Subdivision Plat Falcon Commerce Park Condominium, 1600 North Rosemont. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Okay. Were there any requests to remove any items from the public this evening?
Yes, Mayor. I have a request to remove agenda item 10E. That's on middle of page 13. It's Z07-67.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion for approval of the consent with the exception of 10E? All right, I have a motion. Is there a second? And is there a question? Councilmember Griswold.
I was going to put 6A I'd removed off of consent agenda on the liquor application. These are new owners of the liquor store there. There's been problems in the area before. I trust that they will be good owners. Most of the windows are blocked out. You can't see in. Hopefully there's some safety issues. They will run it well. So I'll take it back on consent, and hopefully we'll be watching them carefully and make sure they are good, responsible owners. So that would save them sitting through the rest of the meeting. So I'll put 6A back on consent.
Okay. So is the motion then to remove, put 6A back on and remove 10E?
Correct.
Is that confirmed by the motion maker and second, Mr. Whalen?
Yes, Mayor. Do we need to read 6A in?
I think it would probably be a good idea to read 6A in. Why don't we do that?
Do you want me to do that?
Please.
This is for U-Stop, person transfer liquor license, store license for U-Stop at 5207 East Main Street.
Okay. That would be included in the consent agenda motion then. All right. Does that work?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. All right. I have a motion and second. Would you please vote? Vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. First item then for consideration is on page 3. This is to conduct a public hearing and take action on an amendment to the land use map of the following minor general plan amendment. And this is a general plan amendment 07-09. This would be the public hearing portion. And I'll read this once. There's a public hearing, there's a resolution and an ordinance. They all pertain to the same area. This is the 5500 block of East McKellops Road, south side, located east of Higley Road on the south side of McKellops Road. It's 4.09 plus or minus acres. This is a minor general plan amendment to change the general plan land use map from office to high density residential, which would be 10 to 15 dwelling units per acre. I have one request to speak. Chris? Pronounce Zed Luaki? No. L-U-H-K-O.
Yedlinka.
That is
Jack.
All right. Chris, please.
Mayor, one of the things I did, I practiced this at home to try to get it down to the 3 minutes, and I could not do that. So I'm going to hit the highlights of what I have on here, the paper, and this is the stuff that I sent in this morning for you guys to see. My plan today is to talk about what I want to talk about in four items. It's to talk about the developments to date, address and respond to the points of the applicant, document my proposal for action, and then pose a question to the City Council. When I attended the PNZ board meeting on June 21st to express my opposition to the rezoning, I let them know that I was the owner of number 56. And truthfully, what I was opposing was the site plan, not necessarily the change. At the time, Mr. Jeff Welker, the applicant, came up and he made some points when he heard from me, and some of the direct quotes, thanks to Mesa Channel 11, I was able to get were, if we can restrict it to emergency only, we're going to restrict it to emergency only vehicles. If the city will approve, then the intent is to make it emergency only. The fire department requirements are that there is a second exit path for fire department, and we can address the problem specifically if we're able to designate it as emergency only. The bulk of his response was they were going to make it emergency only. On June 27th, he and I had a telephone conversation of which we discussed a lot of different items, and he explained to me why they were not going to make it emergency only. And to spare you guys the points, all of them were in respect to what the developer wanted to do with that parcel. He said that the city of Mesa will allow moving of the gate as much as 50 feet to the east, but it will not happen because it affects the new townhouse community. In the meeting that we had, or the city council meeting last week, Mr. Welker indicated that he was completely caught off guard by me coming to the PNC meeting, that he was scrambling to come up with ideas. And what I did is I came to the meeting, the PNZ meeting, because I received a letter and I thought that's what I was supposed to do. In that city council meeting, he said that he could make an emergency gate and it would be a problem to the city of Mesa and their codes or the function of the development. They would evaluate, could they do that? And then he said, Chris suggested that the gate be moved as far to east as we could. Basically, I went back through the Channel 11 and I got some of the quotes out of there, but the one thing that causes me distress is Mr. Welker said that after evaluating those two things, the solution they came up with, which was move the gate 5 feet, would address his concerns, alleviate the problem, and maintain the design we have without damaging it. Truthfully, my rebuttal is that the solution doesn't address my concerns adequately, it doesn't alleviate my problem in any way, and moving the gate the maximum allowable distance will not damage their design nor will it cause traffic issues inside their development. What I'm asking you guys to do is very, very simple. Is as part of the rezoning is to require that gate to be moved the maximum allowable distance or make it emergency only and they can leave it where it is. And then I had one question I wanted to pose to you guys. If by chance you make it emergency only or you make them move the gate, you don't make them move the gate, what is going to happen in the future if the Sanctuary at Alta Mesa Homeowners Association decides to make it an entry and exit gate? What is the recourse to prevent that from happening? Thank you very much.
And you actually have an opportunity to speak on the other items if you need to.
I do.
Yes, this actually has three items, 3A, 3B, and 3C. So this is the public hearing component. Does anyone else want to address the council during the public hearing for this general, minor general plan amendment? Okay, I'll go ahead and then close the public hearing on that item. The next item is to take action on the following resolution, and this is the one we just had the public hearing on, and this is the minor plan amendment 07-09, again at the same address. And this is on for action. Mr. Welker, did you want to respond this evening? Welker, sorry. Councilmember Jones.
Because of recent business dealings, there's a potential conflict of interest on the next two items, so I need to declare the conflict.
Okay. All right, so noted.
Mayor, council members, good evening. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you for just a moment. We appreciate Chris's concerns, and we've taken a hard look at the site, but we do not concur that moving the driveway to the extent he wants will not damage our design and create problems internally. In fact, we believe it'll create great problems for traffic movement inside the project. In addition, we did commit in P&Z to evaluate the opportunity to make it an emergency access only. We took a hard look at that, and due to the number of units on this site, we feel like we need a secondary limited exit only as an alternative to the main entrance, which is overall on Alta Mesa. So we could not support or have that as a part of our proposal. We did, Mayor, probably you unintentionally last week, mentioned something about the driveway that caused me to think long and hard afterwards, and we were able to find the way the driveway detail is designed, an additional 5 feet that we could increase the landscaping area between our drive and Chris's property line from 15 to 20 feet. We've committed to doubling the amount of required trees in there so that we would create an additional buffer. Also, just to correct, last week you asked the question as to how close was his home to the rear yard. We've been out twice to measure it. The patio is right at 23 feet from his rear property line, and the actual home itself is 33 feet from the rear property line. So when you combine that with our 20 feet of landscaping, you've got a 50-foot separation between the home and the limited exit only. Also wanted to mention, I took the opportunity today to drive throughout the Los Cendes community and counted little over 30 circumstances exactly like this that currently exist in Alta Mesa. And in fact, I would suggest that over 50% of them are more challenging than this represents to the property owners, in that they're not gated at all, and they're properties that have road, public and private roads on three sides. We did the checking with the county assessor's office, and it doesn't affect property values, and so we believe we've come up with what we believe to be a thoughtful and sensitive response to Chris's concerns while not damaging the design of the project. We believe it'll protect and create a nice buffer between our limited entry and his property, and we would seek your support and approval of that.
Okay. You mentioned the change from 15 to 20 foot. Would that be reflected on a future site plan, or how do we know that that would be part of what comes forward?
Mayor, in fact, I appreciate you mentioning that. I would like, if approved, that to be a part of the approval, so it's a part of the record. Otherwise, Mr. Wesley and his crack staff will run us through another process later on to get that site plan amended, because currently the site plan that was approved by the P&Z board shows just a 10-foot landscape strip and does not show the 20 feet. So we would be more than welcome to have that read as a part of any approval.
Let me ask the city attorney, how do we do that in the stipulations, or can we do that now that it's been introduced? Is it a major variance from the introduction, or are we okay?
Mayor, we cannot alter the ordinance to include that as a condition without reintroducing the ordinance according to the charter. I guess one question I would have to John is, would this be something that can be amended or modified on an administrative basis under the new process that the council has approved?
Mayor, Council, what I think can happen, unless the city attorney disagrees, is the stipulations reference approval of the site plan. If your motion includes an amendment to the site plan that moves the driveway over to 20 feet, then that's a site plan that gets approved with this motion. We don't really have to change the stipulations. And so then staff could then look for the site plan to come in that we would stamp as the approved site plan that shows that driveway being 20 feet from the west property line.
Okay, with our direction, can you do that administratively without it being reintroduced,
I think
is the question.
I believe so.
All right.
We're fine in that, proceeding in that manner then, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Chris, did you want to address us on this item too? This is on the resolution. Please.
Well, what I wanted to understand, Mayor, is how they were able to get the measurements. I don't recall them coming to me and asking to go on the property to get the measurements. And secondly, the whole point about this gate, this is not something that I just made up out of thin air. I've actually had people looking at the property who have not wanted to purchase it because of the gate. So I'm set up with three high traffic items. This will give me three high traffic items around my condo, which is a real concern, and there can be all the studies in the world you want, but the people who decide whether it's a problem or not are the people who are going to buy the condo, and I've actually had that as a concern.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other requests to speak on this item? All right. Council direction, action. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, second by Vice Mayor Walters for approval. Is that with the stipulation on the 20-foot, Tom? Or?
I think this is just the general plan amendment. I think we need to do the stipulation on 4C.
You are correct. Okay. All right. So with the general plan amendment before us for 07-09, are there any other council comments? Would you please vote? Okay. I think you have Councilmember Jones inaccurately at this point. Could you bring him back up? Oh, I'm sorry. I read that as absent from being downstairs. I think he's referencing me, not you, Kyle. So, all right. Okay, so the vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention with Councilmember Jones for a potential conflict of interest. All right, let's move over to 4C. This is taking action on the following ordinance introduced at a prior council meeting, and this references the same parcel that I described earlier under the hearing and resolution. And action, Councilmember Rawls.
Yes, Mayor, I would make the motion on this, and I would include in as an additional or an amendment stipulation that the driveway be 20 feet from the west property line. Is that what you need, John?
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, it wouldn't really be a change of stipulation. I just think your motion would include that council approval includes okay. Amendment to the site plan moving the...
Then my motion would request approval with the understanding that the site plan would reflect a 20-foot distance from the west property line for the driveway.
Okay, that's the motion. Is there a second? All right, I have a motion by Councilmember Summers. Council discussion? Vice Mayor.
I have a question for Mr. Wesley. John, when I look at this plan, if this were developed as it was previously zoned, you would have had potentially commercial development on this corner. And I'm thinking about the commercial developments that I've seen. It seems to me you would have had a traffic ingress and egress at this location, and you would have not had necessarily a 20-foot buffer. What would the buffer have been? Or would it have been right about that because it was commercial?
Mayor, Vice Mayor, it would be about the same location, and we'd probably actually see more traffic onto that street because we would want to concentrate the commercial traffic onto the major street, not onto the side street.
And it would have been both ingress and egress?
That's correct.
Yeah, not just one way. Okay, thank you.
Okay, there's a motion and second. If there's no further discussion, would you please vote? Okay, the vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention, so the motion does pass. With the stipulation that was mentioned. Okay, next item is on page 4 also, that is 5A. This is the public hearing on the general plan amendment number 07-10 in District 6. There is going to be a public hearing, a resolution, and also an ordinance on this item also. And I'll read the description of the property. This is the 2600 block of South Power Road, east side, located north of Guadalupe Road on the east side of Power Road. It's 16.06 plus or minus acres. This is a minor general plan amendment from community commercial to medium density residential, which would be 6 to 10 dwelling units an acre. This request will allow the development of a single residential subdivision. Are there any requests to speak under the public hearing?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Did anyone come this evening to address the council on this general plan amendment? Don't have to. Okay.
Mayor Hocker, Dan Reeve, the applicant. If the not in the intention to sound presumptuous, I think we're just not on consent because the general plan changed, but available to answer any questions.
Okay. So have a seat there in front. Is there anyone that wanted to address the council again? I'll make another call. All right, let's go ahead then and close the public hearing portion and take item 5B, which is to take action on the following resolution for General Plan Minor Amendment 07-10, as I read the description earlier. I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Councilmember Griswold for approval. Any discussion? Would you please vote? Vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. 5C is to take action on the following ordinance introduced at a prior council meeting. Again, this is for zoning case 07-60, which is referencing the resolution that was just passed, the same description as, let's see, I take that back. How did we go from 16.06 acres to 20.62 acres?
Mayor, the site plan is for a slightly larger area. There's only a portion of the overall site that needed the general plan change.
Okay, then let me read that then. This is the 2600 block of South Power Road east side, located north of Guadalupe Road and east, and the east side of Power Road. It is 20.62 acres, rezoned from AG to R17 to R16 PAD, C2 on the northwest and southwest corners of the site and site plan review. This request will allow the development of a single residential subdivision and a future retail and future retail sites. Okay, I missed that earlier. All right, I have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Rawls for approval. Councilmember Summers.
I have one question that was raised in the neighborhood. Unfortunately, I don't see that gentleman here, so I'll ask it of you. Part of the concern was some of the traffic flowing onto Monterey. Monterey is a collector street, but one of the requests was that some of that traffic be able to exit out onto Power. Excuse me. And I believe this design has a second egress meant for public safety. So what are the options of using that as the second access route?
Mayor Harker, Councilman Members, Summers, we have worked with the city traffic engineer and the city planning department, of course, and at this point we show that as an emergency access. We are welcome to the idea of having it be a secondary egress or exit from the site. We have the legal right to do that. We've secured that through the Quick Trip site. So, we're in favor of that. If the city engineering department and the council decides that's appropriate, we're sort of in a position where we don't want to go against the recommendation of the engineering department. But it is something that the neighborhood was interested in as a means of trying to reduce the amount of traffic on Monterey and the impact there. So we've secured the ability to do that and certainly support that. But we don't want to tell the city traffic engineer how to do his job either. So it's kind of a
tried
a place in that.
I would support, and I'll say it publicly for you, I would support the idea of the access on the Power Road. This is a gated community. So it would be limited access just to the residents there. So I would support that as well. And I also noted on your plan that you have, there's a park that's just to the opposite side here, a couple of pedestrian gates to allow for the children or anybody, adults, to utilize the park as well. If I would encourage you also to include those and whatever you need. There's a sidewalk there, so whatever you need to do to tie it into the city, none of that makes any difference on how I'm going to vote on this right now. I'm just telling you I would like to see those connections. I think that adds to a better sense of community here as well.
Mayor Hawker, Councilmember Summers, I appreciate you being on the record in that regard. We think it makes sense to have neighborhood access that's gated and restricted to the park so that kids can directly ingress and egress the park without having to walk around that city well site, and also could potentially go to school that way. I'm open to any additional questions you have. I appreciate the comments, Councilmember.
Okay, we have a motion and second for approval. Mike.
Just one question. Dan, is this the old Helaman House prehab site?
Sorry, I didn't quite hear the question.
Helaman House prehab site.
It is.
Is that totally closed and you are now the owner?
We're under contract to purchase the property. They have totally
it.
Closed.
I didn't realize it before. I just realized it was that address. I'm going to have to declare a conflict.
Oh, okay.
Because of my work with the prehab.
Yeah, sorry about that. We probably
should. That's all right. I just looked familiar. I should have caught it earlier. I'm okay?
Okay.
Yes, Councilmember Whalen.
Yep. Did I vote on 5C, though? I mean, which one are we on?
We're on 5C now.
Are we okay on 5B?
Councilmember Whalen, since you just realize the conflict now. Because it was a unanimous vote on 5B, the result would have been the same. You didn't make any comments, so you didn't participate in the discussion, so it didn't have an influence on the remaining council members. So we're fine proceeding.
Just want to make note, there's no background information that mentions prehab or Helaman House that I saw. So just caught it on the location. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we are on 5C. I have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Rawls for approval. Would you please vote? The vote is 6 ayes and an abstention, with Councilmember Whalen declaring a potential conflict. So it does pass. Next item is also on page 5. This is going to be, let's see, 6C. I believe 6A we put on for consent, so 6C. This is Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill. This is a new restaurant license for Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill at 1804 South Signal Butte Road, Suite 101. It's Rubio's Restaurant, Inc. is the applicant. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I have to confess, I like their fish tacos. But what we're asking to vote on is, this is a an application for a liquor license. And one of the stipulations, by voting yes, what the council essentially is saying in part is that they are compliant on all permits and licenses that are required. And in fact, in our report, it says here that they are out of compliance with fire and building safety permit requirements. And on an issue of fairness, I think if we're going to have other businesses go forward to the state and say you have to have these required as well, then all of them have to have it required as well. And as much as I love the fish tacos and I'm going to have to potentially wait a little longer to get them, I'm going to make a motion that we send this to the state with a recommendation for denial.
Okay. That's the motion, and I have the second by Councilmember Rawls. Discussion, Vice Mayor.
I'd like to put in the record that if they get all of their permits, that our objection to this would go away. That wouldn't change the vote, but it would. I'd like to see if that's part of the that would be part of the record. Are you all right with that, Councilmember Summers?
Is that okay?
That's okay, Councilmember Summers. And I guess I would ask one other thing, that assuming what you said in terms of, we have to clearly state on the record what the basis for the recommendation of denial is. If you could clearly state that it is because they have failed to meet all licenses and permits as required by the City of Mesa, and then add Councilmember or Vice Mayor Walter's comments, if you agree that assuming they come forward and they meet all of those, the objection would be resolved or eliminated.
Then I would certainly stipulate that they are not compliant with all the permits and licenses to date, and that would be the basis for my recommendation for denial. I would also stipulate that should they get the licenses and approvals and permits that they need, that they should get a liquor license.
Okay, Councilmember Rawls, you concur?
I'm fine.
All right. Okay, there's a motion and second. Any other discussion? Okay, would you please vote? The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes, for the motion is stated. That is on page 5. Next item is on page 8. This is item 7I, and I've been informed by staff that there's some asphalt construction work involved in that, and I have a ownership interest, some leasehold interests, and some asphalt related businesses, so I will refrain from voting in discussion. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the baseline wastewater interceptor siphon inlet and outlet structure rehabilitation. This project will rehabilitate the structures by repairing and relining the damaged concrete surfaces, repairing or replacing equipment damaged by corrosion, and relining the 42-inch pipe under the freeway with a cured in-place liner. It's recommended that the award for the construction phase go to BF Contracting with a guaranteed maximum price, including change orders, 10% allowance for change orders, of $3,235,595.35. The funding is available from the existing bond proceeds in the wastewater bond program. Have there been any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
Okay, I didn't bring this up downstairs, but Beth, you've stayed, and I'm sure you stayed because you wanted to talk about this. We have had many attempts to fix this problem over the years. And I'd like to know how this time we're going to get it exactly right, and we won't have a problem anymore.
Good evening, Vice Mayor, Council. This project is actually to do what I would consider more routine-type maintenance on the facility. This project is to go in and repair corrosion that's occurred within the structures. We're going to go in and reline the structures, and then we'll also be relining one of the three pipes under the freeway. So it's a little bit different than some of the previous projects, which were set up to address odor control issues at the siphon. And won't be addressing those types of issues. Although I know in recent years, like in 2005, we went in and rehabbed the odor control facilities, and that's helped substantially in the area. I've also been told by utility staff we're kind of in the process of reducing flows through that siphon when we can by redirecting them to the northwest plant and by removing them for the southeast plant that we just built.
Okay, thank you. Any other council discussion, conversation? I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Whalen. Would you please vote? The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor abstaining because of potential conflict of interest. Back to you, Mayor.
Okay. Next item is on page 11. It is item 9G. This is a request for conveying the eastern parcel of the Mesa Historical Museum site at 2345 North Horn Road along East Lehigh Road to the Mesa Historical Society as recommended by the Community and Neighborhood Services Committee. And that came with a recommendation of 3-0 from the subcommittee. We have one request to speak. That's Dennis Cavanaugh. Dennis?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm speaking tonight as the past chair for the Mesa Historical Society. And despite what you may think, we have been doing other work at the Historical Museum over the past 2 years other than trying to keep the building and museum open in terms of our funding. We have been doing both short-term and long-term planning for our campus. We have had consultants come out to evaluate our collections, the auditorium in which they are stored. We have had consultants come out to look at the large agricultural artifacts that we have on our site. And we've had very unanimous recommendations that long-term, to preserve Mesa's history, to preserve our 80,000 object collection of both large and small items, we need to look to having a climate-controlled collections building at some point in the future. We also need to have shade structures for the very large agricultural implements or artifacts that we have on our property. And it's our long-term goal that that collections building and the shade structures will be on the eastern half of the property, which is currently occupied by a charter school. Now, in terms of our short-term planning, the charter school and the revenue it produces for the Historical Society are extremely important to keep us going. We've had a wonderful partnership for over a dozen years with that charter school. We anticipate that will continue on at least through 2010. But we have been in a process, a strategic planning process initiated in 2007, looking at both our short-term needs, our long-term needs. For the short-term, we need to retain the revenue for that property. For the long-term, for the protection of our collections, we need to look to expansion in the future. The logical place would be on the eastern parcel of the property that we currently lease from the city into the school. The school itself also is located in portable buildings, and they have been very successful. And at some point, we know they may be moving to another more permanent location as well. We want to be able to accommodate their needs as well as our needs. And so the reason this item is moving forward at this point in time is really the result of the strategic planning process that we have initiated in 2007, as well as the consultant studies that we have had in terms of evaluating our collections, and we urge your support. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Dennis, let me ask you a question. What's different if the property's conveyed versus it's not conveyed and you continue to pay a dollar a year outside of the dollar?
We are currently under a 30-year lease with the city for that property. I think 17 years left to go. We would continue to lease the property at least through 2010 to the charter school. After that, we could potentially continue the lease or the charter school could move. We still are looking long-term towards that parcel as really being the only place for us to expand the museum. We're going to continue our planning efforts. We know what we need in terms of a climate-controlled building to protect our artifacts. We know what we need in terms of shade structures for the agricultural implements. We simply don't have the space on the western side of it. So we're going to continue to look to identify how large those structures would be, what they would cost, to add that to our overall master plan for the project and our overall capital needs. So we would continue as we are.
So do you need the land so you can put some type of collateralize against it? Or do you need the land in your name versus having a dollar lease?
Well, Mayor, the important part of having the land in as part of our assets is in working with financial institutions for financing of capital projects. As you may know, with projects such as the Mark Center or other nonprofits that you've conveyed property to, typically we, as a nonprofit, undertake fundraising in the community, but we also enter into agreements for bridge financing with financial institutions, and they look at the bottom line in terms of what your assets are, and that's where this the eastern parcel of the property would be added to the assets of the museum that the financial institution would look at and evaluate in terms of whether or not to provide us any financing. So it would strengthen our bottom line balance sheet in terms of future capital financing.
Okay, and that's true even though it has a restriction that it has to be for a museum use and as part of the conveyance?
Mayor and Council, we believe it would. We do not believe it would present any barrier for us to gain financing. We think that long term it would be very difficult to use that for any other use besides the museum.
Okay, and the conveyance has the stipulation that it needs to stay as, or once conveyed,
Yes, Mayor, I think that's one of the issues that has to be considered is any property like this that is used for some kind of collateral financing will still be restricted for use for a museum or the school. So even in the long term, even after the school goes away, the property would still be restricted for the purposes of a museum use. And I think that was the instruction that we received from the council last time.
Right, and that's one I'd like to keep on. I just think the two are in conflict. Why would a financial institution want to lend money to something that then they'd have to come in and operate a museum, for crying out loud? I don't think it makes a lot of money.
Well, trust me, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it bears, there's a tremendous asset for the community. We have been working to become more entrepreneurial in terms of fundraising. Long-term, we think the protection of the collection will enhance our ability for revenues to the museum.
I agree with all that, but I just don't see how the conveyance to a use that's restricted to a museum does you any good on a balance sheet.
Well, Mayor and Council, I'm not the financial expert on it, but I have served on other boards where having the property on the balance sheet certainly was an asset. The Mark Center is a prime example. And prehab, actually.
But I don't think the Mark Center property is restricted to a museum. I think they could sell that building and use it for some type of other storage. So I think that's where the difference is.
Right, and certainly I think that may be true, Mayor.
Right. I guess I would feel more comfortable if I knew what the plan was for the build-out and why you needed that land and how you're going to finance it. Because it seems like we're maybe digging a deeper hole, because I know you also request money from the city. And now we've got another 2.5 acres that we're conveying to the museum, and it seems like there's kind of a little bit of a money pit out there now, and why would we give you 2.5 more acres that is under your control? Obviously, you've got a lease, which is beneficial. I've heard $40,000 a year from the lease, but I'm not sure that I see a plan in place that I'm comfortable conveying the land at this point. I certainly would extend the lease for another 3 years and allow the museum to, you know, use the $40,000 for operating, because otherwise you come to council and ask for it anyway. But I just don't see the urgency or enough of a plan in place that I'm willing to vote for doing it at this time.
Certainly, Mayor. I think, again, in terms of museum planning, you do have to look long term. We have an issue of fiduciary responsibility for the collections that we have. Obviously, those collections cannot be maintained forever in an unprotected facility the way we have now. And so we have identified the need for a climate-controlled collections facility. We have identified the need for shade structures to protect the large agricultural implements. And we have identified, obviously, there are many other capital needs as well for our auditorium and our school. And there's no end to projects for which we could raise money in the community. We want to stay open, but we want to stay open long-term, protect the assets, the valuable assets that we have. And long-term, by knowing that we ultimately could build the collections facility there, the shade structures, we know that we could fulfill our fiduciary responsibility.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to make a motion for approval. I don't see a downside for the city on this. It seems to me that while there certainly have been requests for finances, the last few years there has not been money forthcoming from the city. I really appreciate the efforts of the volunteers. It has really been significant. If you think about it, the only entity that's going to be interested in preserving the history of a city is that city itself. Tempe isn't going to care about Mesa's history. Chandler isn't going to care about it. Gilbert isn't going to care about it. So I think if we don't care about it, nobody's going to, and I would hate for us to lose our history. So I think that the things that have been written in the lease protect it so that we know that it can't just be sold off and somebody put in a payday loan store. my favorite places. So I am going to make the motion and vote for it. Thank you, Mayor.
I have a motion and second. Discussion? Let's start over here. Rex?
Just addressing the financial, if it was just tied to a museum, I think you'd have a very hard time. Because you have a charter school in the allowability on this property, it at least gives a bank another asset if they had to foreclose that they could sell it to a charter school. It gives you some cash flow value on this property. Mesa's cut all the funding out of the historical museum. You've done a very good job being entrepreneurial, raising money from different sources. It's going to be, and I wouldn't give you a lot of hope that you're going to get a large cash flow from the city in the next year or two. So whatever helps you stay afloat and do a good job, it's a great museum if you haven't been there. It's a real treasure. It's off the beaten path. You can't see it. It's up on Horn and McKellips. But it is worthwhile seeing. It tells a lot of the history of Mesa with both the blemishes and the good stories. So I'll be in support of this.
Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't know what the value is to a bank for this collateral because of the reverter clause, but I don't see any reason, I don't see any difference between the long-term lease that we're in now and the conveyance, except that it gives them the additional chance to convince a bank to lend them. They may not lend 100% of value because of that reverter. They may only lend 50% of value, and so if they are going to expand the facility, build the infrastructure that Dennis has mentioned, I think this is an asset in their hands that increases that potential, but it's an asset if it remains in our hands, reduces that potential. I don't see a downside to the city because if the bank forecloses, the bank has to do one of two things. It either has to run a museum one of three things, run a museum, give it back to us, or come in and ask for an elimination of the reverter. And those are all policy decisions that we can make later. I just don't see an immediate downside, Mayor, so I'll support the motion.
Okay. Have a motion and second in favor of the motion. No more discussion. Would you please vote? Okay, the vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with the mayor voting nay. So it does pass. That is item 9G. Next item is on page 13. This is item 10E. This is zoning case Z07-67, District 6, 11202 East Germain Road, located on the west side of Meridian Road, alignment between Pecos Road and Germain Road. It's 227 plus or minus acres. This is rezoned from M2 to M2BIZ, council use permit and site plan review. This request will allow the development of a steel mill. We have a request to speak by Rhonda Johnson. And let me see. Usually we have first the applicant. Is the applicant present this evening on this one? You want to speak, or would you like Rhonda to speak first? Please go ahead.
Mayor, perhaps I can give just a brief overview, and then we'll have Mrs. Johnson speak. Elmo can be turned on now. This is a portion of your, by the way, let me drop back here and introduce myself. My name is Stephen Earle. My address is 3101 North Central in Phoenix. I'm here today on behalf of CMC Steel. Jim Aubuchon and Andrew Surratt are here from the company. should you have any specific questions of them. CMC Steel is a Fortune 500 company. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They have plants throughout the world. This is a very unique plant that's being proposed here. It's a micro steel mill, that is, it has a very defined output, a maximum. It does one thing, it builds, it manufactures rebar from scrap metal. And it's a continuous process that ends up coming through the system and ends up at rebar at the end, and that is then taken off the site for use in construction. There's a demand in Arizona for rebar because there's no plant in Arizona that manufactures rebar. It all has to be imported from other states. So there's obviously a transportation cost associated with that. This plant would therefore provide the current demand for rebar in the state of Arizona and would significantly reduce the cost by eliminating most of the transportation cost. It's important because it's highly automated. Highly automated means that we're not smelting ore, iron ore, to get down to steel. We're taking scrap metal and running it through a highly automated process that's based on electrical energy, that eliminates all of the emission issues that normally associated with steel mills, the ugly brown cloud that you might be familiar with, Morenci or other places. Most of the jobs here for engineers, technicians, and other trained professionals in this plant, there's about 165 jobs. On this overhead, I put a portion of the general plan. The reason why CMC Steel decided that this was a great site was because they were looking for one that was already planned and well protected by a city for general industrial use. This shows at the kind of extreme southeast corner of this exhibit. This is an area which has been planned and preserved by the city for many, many years for general industrial use. It's in fact right next to TRW and is owned currently by TRW. It's being sold to CMC Steel for this plant. It's 225 acres in size. They need about 75 of those acres to actually build this plant. Their idea, therefore, was to put it in the middle of the property so they could use all of that acreage around it to buffer themselves. So they're almost 800 feet away from Meridian, which is a little over two football fields, almost a third, and they're 1,800 feet away from Germain. So it's like five football fields. So they're making a sincere attempt here to insulate themselves from the surrounding area. Their access is off Germain. They have worked out an agreement with the city and with TRW to put in a mile from Signal Butte to Meridian of this road. The road's there today, but it needs to be expanded to an arterial standard. That's part of this case. They'll need that access for their trucks. There is one challenge associated with that access, and that is the Johnson family lives on Germain. They've lived there for well over a decade, we've met with them. We understand the circumstance. They're in the middle of a large industrial area. Not only is Mesa shown this for an industrial area, but so is Queen Creek to the south. They have enjoyed the fact that they have not had any real users around them other than TRW. So even though it's been zoned for general industrial use, it's not been used for that. They've had a road that dead-ended near the end of their property, and there was not a lot of traffic on this road. Over time, Germain will become a six-lane arterial, and so will Meridian. We have met with the Johnson family. We are candidly seeking to purchase their property, if it's possible. We'd like to see them relocate to another location where they can enjoy the desert surroundings without industrial uses near them. The one challenge, obviously, we have is that our trucks will come down Germain. They'll pass their property and then come to a point of access near Meridian. And then we will come into the plant. The reason why, and I will show this site plan. The Johnson home is here on the plan. Our driveway is here. One of the reasons we have that access off Germain is because when trucks come, they need to be able to stack onside the property and not in the public street. And you'll notice that we have 1,900 feet, so we have a lot of area onside our property. They have to go through a weigh station both when they come in and when they leave. Now, over time, there is a stipulation in our case that over time, Meridian will be built Meridian will ultimately connect to the extension of the freeway. This shows that extension, property being here, the extension of the 202 freeway over time will be created a very nice access to this property coming off that extension down Meridian. And so there's a stipulation in the case that says when Meridian is built and connects to the freeway, then the city will reevaluate whether or not Meridian is the better access. It's in the city's control as to whether or not the access should be moved. There will be one access, and that would either be moved to Meridian or perhaps farther down on Germain. And we're happy to have that decision in the control of the city. That's an overview of our case. And I understand the predicament that the Johnson family is in. We're going to do all we can to be a good neighbor as long as they live there, and then hope that we can make arrangements for them to have a new home somewhere else that's outside of an industrial district.
Okay. Councilmember Summers, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Earle, I had the opportunity to speak to Mr. Johnson here this past week. I understand that CMC was in the process of hopefully doing an appraisal of the property today. Was that done?
They have hired an appraiser, and that appraiser is...
CMC has hired an appraiser?
Correct. And that appraiser is in the process of doing an appraisal. Since they're a Fortune 500 company, they need to have actual appraisals done when they purchase property rather than just, you know, a purchase price out there. And so that's been done. He's working on it. We hope to be able to meet with the Johnson family soon.
Any idea of how long it would take to wrap this up, assuming that a equitable price has been agreed to?
I'm
Why don't you come down here, Jim?
Sure.
Jim's with CMC Steel.
My name is Jim Aubuchon. I'm senior attorney for Commercial Metals Company in Irving, Texas. Certainly, once we come to a final agreement with the Johnson family, we're ready to close on that transaction as soon as they are.
Okay. And I'm looking at the site plan. I don't know if you want to throw that back up, but there's also a couple other little, looks like, parcels. Do we know who owns those? I have not heard from those folks.
The parcel at the corner is a well site, so it's not a problem. The other little parcel next to the Johnson family is actually, we own that. This little element here, which you see, is not really an out parcel. It's a retail element of our business that contractors would be able to come to that small store for retail purposes. This little element here also is that's a well site, so it's not a problem.
Okay. Unfortunately, I think Mr. Johnson could not be here. He told me he was going to be out of state. Ms. Johnson is here, and
right.
We'll hear from you. I'm hoping you're still willing to sell, and that's where we'll hear today. And I would like to encourage you to move forward.
Sure.
We can't put that as a stipulation that they sell the property. That would be unfair as far as the appraisal value is concerned. So we really can't go that direction, in my opinion. But it would be very... After speaking to the Johnsons, I would hope that we could come to something at least before this project gets up and running. As for the project itself, I like it. We're going to need this in Arizona, particularly in this area. It fits what's been in the an industrial use, which has been in the book since 1988, and I believe two or three times since then it's been voter approved for updates. The one, if I'm going to pick on you a little bit, the one thing I wish we had are more jobs to acres.
Sure.
160 jobs, they're well-paying jobs from what I've seen, but that's a lot of acreage and a little jobs, and I know you're going to be facing some issues with the site. There's some flooding issues.
Right.
The infrastructure has a lot of catching up to do, but at some point, is this as the residential moves out and this all becomes industrial, and San Antonio, if you want to wrangle it from them, I would be welcome to your corporate headquarters, perhaps. And with that, I'll be done. Thank you, Mayor.
We have, just to answer your question, Councilman Sermon, we have every intent to work something out with the Johnsons so that they can move.
All right. Let me go ahead then and call up Rhonda Johnson.
Thank you for listening to me today, Mayor and Council. I am Rhonda Johnson. A few months ago, the steel mill contacted me and notified me of their plans, and since then, it has been a lot for me to assimilate. And as I go over in my mind the details of this process, other issues present themselves. I come here today as a concerned mother of 10 children. By the way, these are 8 of the 10. My 11 and 12-year-old are not here. We have lived a sheltered life that we have protected and selected. This is not just a house on a road. We have been here for 15 plus years. 2 of my children were born there. It's been a place of family gatherings, Easter egg hunts of 200 plus people, bird hunting, Christmas gatherings. This will drastically change our lives. We have talked with the steel mill company about buying us out, and that is a possibility. They have been so kind and informative. I have great concerns when they want to start widening the roads. I feel that widening the roads while we are still there would create added exposure and vulnerability that would threaten our safety and privacy. My children's safety is a great concern. Germain is their sidewalk. The farmland in front of us is our front yard, which could remain farmland for a few more years. They recently, a project has that was going to go in is no longer going in, and they are contemplating changing that once again to residential. We have grown more concerned with this whole process, and I am wondering, am I allowed to ask a question, or will my time be up?
Go ahead. We'll allow you some extra time, please.
I am wondering what is the proposed right-of-way in front of my property?
Somebody want to respond to what Germain is? I think it's a major arterial, so it's probably 165, well.
Yep. Yes, Mayor, it is a major arterial, 65 feet from center line on a side.
All right, so it's 130 foot.
130 foot?
Would be the ultimate build on that, because it would be a major arterial.
Okay, so then that would be land that would cut into my front yard. And so my concerns are, as the road is being widened there, the safety of my children and the exposure of my home, my husband has his company, his business that he runs out of our home. To me, this is huge. And those are my concerns. I would ask that the road not be widened until we reach an agreement and until we leave, especially in front of our property.
Okay.
And what happens with our property if we choose not to relinquish that?
Well, the part for the right-of-way, the city, if they do major arterial construction, the right-of-way would be actually be condemned if there was not, in order to do the public access for the whole community. So right-of-way acquisition for major arterials eventually would be under a condemnation. There would be an appraisal, and then you'd be compensated for the value of your property that was taken.
Okay, even though the legal description of my land says only 33 feet from center line?
Well, for a major arterial, there are 65 feet wide, so that's correct. We would be taking that 33 feet that's in the description, the city wouldn't pay for. The additional to get it to a major arterial standard would go through a condemnation process, and you'd be compensated for that land.
Even while we are there?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a regional transportation plan that's building several major arterials. I'm not sure if this is in the MAG Prop 400, but that area is a very quickly developing area, especially when the Williams Gateway Freeway comes through there. So almost every single mile intersection or mile road that's now 33 foot wide is going to go to 130 foot wide over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in that transition period currently. So the lifestyle you're currently enjoying, I've regretfully to tell you, is about to change here in the future.
And when is the freeway proposed to come in?
I can give you all those maps. It's funded in, I think, 2017, but there'll be some advanced work, and there may be even some acceleration.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are there any other requests to speak on this item? Was the only one?
I have none, Mayor.
Okay. All right. Did you have any follow-ups or any other comments, Mr. Earl?
Mayor, Council, the only follow-up that I have is that we're planning to open the plant in 2009. The road construction is, of course, up to the city's schedule, but it's our understanding that this mile of road would be worked on, so it would be consistent with that opening. So there is a year and a half, 18 months, within which to work with the Johnson family to find a way to see them relocate. That's clearly our intent and desire.
Okay, is that confirmed to the time schedule that we have with the city?
Mayor, I'd agree with that, with the caveat that there'd be a lot of planning, right-of-way takes if needed, and if the construction is going to be finished by 2009, obviously they'd need a lot of lead time before that.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Summers.
Just a brief comment, something that was said. She had mentioned so far that CMC had been kind and informative, and hopefully that attitude continues throughout for the next however long it takes. And this has got to be really rough. I really understand it. I moved down about the same time you did, early 90s, 13, 14 years ago now. And I still remember I live on the north side of this, all the way north of the power lines there. And I can remember going and dove hunting, or at least hearing the dove hunting and ducking in the house for those who don't aim as well as perhaps Rex and I do, not to brag. But so that's gone. It didn't take very long for that to leave in my area. That's been gone for a better part of 10 years. And it's got to be a lot of empathy, because it was a very rural area. Major changes coming this way, and from discussions with your husband, hopefully he's very interested in selling. Hopefully you are too. That doesn't take away from the fact that you shouldn't be sad about that. I mean, there's a lot of, you have a very large, lovely, and quiet family. I'm going to loan my kids to her. As nice as they are, they're rambunctious. But that's going to be a painful process, and I understand. Hopefully we have some empathy as that goes through. But and to as best they can make you whole, and best wishes. Thank you so much for showing up.
Okay, I have a motion by Councilmember Rollins for approval, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters. Other discussion? Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Obviously, 15 years ago, you moved to the country, and then the city came to you. And that's a real challenge. Hopefully, in the process, as you get a little bit of time to work, and I was thinking, if you, Jack, you hadn't said that, I was going to say you don't have a year and a half, because it takes a while to build a road. So it's less time than that. But hopefully in the process you'll be able to find a place that you'll be able to build all of those memories and take pictures along with you. And I I can only imagine. I made a joke last time we were dealing with, to try and lighten the situation, last time we were dealing with a situation with people moving out of their home, and it was misinterpreted. So I don't want to say anything that sounds light in any way. I don't think that this is light. I think it's a real challenge. But obviously, I will make this comment. I raised 5. I don't know how you're doing 10. I thought 5 took 120% of my time. So, and they're very well behaved. So congratulations on a very nice looking family.
Councilmember Griswold.
You know, I think this transaction can happen and happen well. What concerns me is a planning area directly to the east of this, right over Meridian, which is Pinal County. No one is planning that area. There's a wildcat, I'm using the word probably incorrectly, subdivision going in right next to steel mill, dirt roads running off of Ellsworth, no guaranteed water, sewer, anything else. And that's the kind of growth that's happening out there. Somebody needs to plan this area better than happening. And it's not going to be a good place to live, and it's going to affect our business too. So hopefully someone will take control of that planning area soon.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and second for support. I am very pleased that CMC Steel is considered the Mesa job center area. It protects the arrival and departure flights for Williams Gateway. I think it's very compatible with other uses in that area. I've heard nothing but positive about your company. I hope you become a good citizen and a civic participant in the community. I am sorry that we're displacing some residents, but I think that that area has been and will continue to be a major job center in this area. And that's, I hate to say anything light about a casualty of changing an area, but there are some pockets similar to yours out there that are going to have some hardship, and that may not be the place for them to be long term. But I do want to thank CMC Steel for their consideration of Arizona and the Mesa area, because I think it fits perfectly with what my master plan kind of concept of businesses for that area would be. I guess I agree a little bit with Councilmember Summers. I hope that some of that vacant land, you can find some other job creation possibilities that are compatible with your existing business to use up some of that 227 acres that we're zoning here tonight. So there is a motion and second. Other comments? Councilmember Rawls.
Just very briefly, when I met with CMC Steel, one of the things they emphasized was they were a good corporate citizen and a good member of the community. I think the challenge is to continue that with the Johnsons, and I'm hearing that you will do so, and I think the 7 people up here would be very disappointed if that didn't happen.
Okay, there's a motion and second. Would you please vote? The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Right. Next item is on page 14, item number 12. This is items from citizens present. Are there any requests to speak this evening?
I have no speakers, Mayor.
Move for adjournment.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
No, you haven't done
it. Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
I don't think so.
All right, Tom, what's up?